Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
I just wanted to share a few thoughts with you about Easter and the significance of Easter. For many of us, Easter is another long weekend, right? It's an opportunity to go camping, it's an opportunity to go traveling and go do all kinds of things. Maybe it's just an opportunity to indulge in a lot of chocolate and some hot cross buns. But for many of us who believe in Jesus Christ, who follow him, many of us who are Christians, not just here in Port Kennedy, but all around the world, this weekend is a very significant weekend. And we love to gather on this particular weekend around the message that is in what Jesus did for all of us, for you and for me and for all of humanity when he died on the cross. The cross is a very significant symbol for Christians. The cross is a significant symbol because it carries great power. The cross itself is not powerful. This is not powerful. The symbol itself is not powerful, but what took place on it is powerful. And what we have to acknowledge tonight is that the cross is only powerful when we are willing to acknowledge our sin, when we are willing to acknowledge that we have need of what happened on that cross. That is when the cross is powerful. In a world that tells us that we can do no wrong, in a world that tells us that truth is whatever you want it to be, in a world that tells us that you can make up your own standards, the cross is only powerful when we admit and acknowledge that we are born into a broken and sinful world. That we live in a world where we don't have to teach our children how to do wrong. That they just seem to figure out, right, how to be selfish. All these toys are mine. Or, you know, they do something wrong and then they lie about it. We don't have to teach our kids how to do that. We have to teach them how to be good and how to do the right thing and make the right choices. And the reason we have to do that is because we are predisposed to doing the wrong thing. We're predisposed to sin. We're predisposed to making choices that lead us away from the kind of life that God created us to live. The cross is only powerful when I admit that I, when left to my own devices, am a fearful, bitter, easily offended, highly sensitive, anxious, impulsive, sometimes foolish, sometimes shameful, sometimes unforgiving, controlling person. And that's just your pastor, right? And that's just the highlight reel of who I was before I met Jesus. And to acknowledge all of that requires me to humble myself. You see, the cross is only powerful when I am prepared to admit that my perfectly holy heavenly Father, who loves me and created me and wants to have a relationship with me, cannot have it with me while I choose to stay in my sin and choose to live in my brokenness. That a relationship with God through Jesus Christ is impossible without, firstly, my admission of guilt. That it's not possible without me firstly saying to God, I need you. And in a world where we like to call people out on things, but hate being called out ourselves, when we like to judge people for their prejudices and their biases and their flaws, but we refuse to admit our own, that can be quite countercultural, right? The cross is only powerful when we're willing to say, I can't save myself from who I am. I need a Savior. God, who loves us and created us, knew this. And that's why God himself came into the world to take on our humanity, to walk in human form as Jesus. You see, we are created and loved by a perfect God. We're created and loved by our Heavenly Father, who made us in his image with a free will to exist in relationship with him, to choose to be in relationship with him. But It broke his heart when that relationship was severed by sin. And so it left us in this impossible situation where we were existing as a broken humanity, where we were existing completely separated from God with all our issues and all our dysfunctions and all our hang-ups, not able to save ourselves, not able to rescue ourselves, not able to measure up again to be in that right relationship with a perfect and holy God. And so much did our Heavenly Father want to be in relationship with us, knowing that he couldn't as long as we continue to choose sin over him. And so it came to this, that God knew that we couldn't measure up to him, and so he measured down to us. He sent his son Jesus, the Son of God, equal with God, to live on earth as a human being. In Jesus, all of God's love and kindness and grace was personified. Jesus came as the solution to the greatest problem in humanity, our sin. And this is the problem that we have been desperately trying to find the solution since humanity decided to go its own way, right? We keep trying to find solutions to the problems with humanity. And so often our solutions lead nowhere or create new problems. We correct an error with an error. We correct a problem with a problem. Perhaps you're thinking, man, I've done that in my own life. We try and deal with all the injustices and the inequalities and all the world's hurts and pains and offenses by trying to change behavior and attitudes and social trends and all of those things, trying to create new ways, but we just create new problems. You know, no human has ever been successful in saving humanity from itself. God knew that the world couldn't save itself from itself. He knew that you couldn't save yourself from yourself. He knew that I couldn't save myself from myself. And so he sent himself to walk on the earth as we do, to feel pain and to be human and do all of that without sin, without any wrongdoing. Jesus, the Son of God, yet equal to our Father God, measured down to us to become this bridge between us and our Heavenly Father. The Apostle Paul wrote about this in Romans 5:6. He said, "When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us." Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who was especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. While we were still sinners. While we couldn't save ourselves from our own humanity, while I couldn't get my act together, while I was still battling with the self-centeredness and my arrogance and my insecurities, God knew that I needed Jesus. And God knew that you needed Jesus to save you from your sin, to bring you into a new way and a new life. That we all needed Jesus to become the bridge between us and God, to come across that divide that had separated us, and so that we could walk freely into a right relationship with him. And all this takes is that we would acknowledge our sin, that we would repent, or that word repent simply means to turn away from our old life and believe that Jesus did what he actually says that he did, that he died for us while we were still sinners. And all this takes is for me to lay down my pride, to lay down my need to hold on to everything that I think defines me and makes me who I am, and acknowledge, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need your forgiveness. I receive you. I believe that you died for me. You see, God gave the answer to humanity's mess in Jesus. That's what's so good about Good Friday. That we don't have to live in our mess any longer, because the cross took our messes once and for all. This is the power of the cross. This is the reason why God orchestrated the death of Jesus through a long and painful and heinous death, so that we could be made right with him, that he would take upon himself all the suffering that we deserved, so that we could be made as he deserved. His death, it was not quick, it was not humane. The crucifixion is quite possibly the most graphic and violent death that was ever dreamed up by humanity. All of our worst was placed on all of heaven's best, just to offer us the option of receiving this bridge to walk on and release us into relationship with God. That's the power of the cross. That's what's so good about Good Friday. That is why we take communion. In effect, what Jesus' death on the cross did to become the bridge between us and God was to complete once and for all a transaction that only he could do. All of our sin, all of our shame, all of my brokenness, all of my sin, all of my shame was condemning me to an eternity in hell. Hell is this place that we don't often talk about from the pulpit, if you've been in church very much. It's where my soul was destined because of my sin. And God loved me too much. He loved all of us too much to leave us stranded in that position, to leave us stranded in that place of that was where we could end up. And so he gave Jesus, his son, to bleed and to die so that we could have eternal life. Jesus faced hell so we don't have to. That's why the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through his son he would save it. He didn't come to condemn you. He didn't come to wag a finger at you. He didn't come to come and slap you around and tell you you've done it all wrong. He came to save you. The world was already condemned. We've been condemned since the day we chose to go our own way. He didn't condemn us. He came to save us. You know, so many people ask, why would a loving God send people to hell? You know what? God has never sent anyone to hell. We're already heading there by our own choices. He's trying to save us from that place by giving us Jesus. He gave us Jesus so we could be forgiven, so we could be restored, so we could be redeemed and have that life of freedom that's available in him. You know, the debt for my life was mine to pay, but Jesus became the bridge. He paid the price. And the price he paid was high. It was 40 lashes of a multiple-stranded whip that had bone and nail fragments at the tip of it that would pull flesh from the bone. It was 9-inch nails thumped into wrists and ankles. It was a crown of thorns to pierce his head. It was a wooden criminal's cross to hang on until his body could sustain life no longer. Some people call it the great exchange. And it was a great exchange. And we got the better part of the deal. Only his love could be crazy enough or radical enough to do that for us. Only his love. There is no other explanation. There is no other example of something such as this in any other history book or in the hearts of people all across the world, that someone would love so much to give so much. God's love caused him to make the greatest exchange in human history, Jesus' life for mine. It was an impossible choice, and yet God made it. He made it for me and he made it for you. When you love someone unconditionally, you give them what can come from no other source but love, and that is grace. Grace is what you show someone when they don't deserve it. Grace is what you give when somebody has wronged you and you extend them forgiveness, you extend them kindness. This is what Jesus did because of the love of God. He was to give you and I what we didn't deserve, His grace. And all that we need to do is believe. All that we need to do is believe. That's what's so good about Good Friday. And in many ways now we understand why the Bible calls what God did for us on Good Friday, on the cross, a gift. Salvation is a gift. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Notice how the Bible doesn't call it a reward or a prize. It is a gift. You see, a gift is something you give someone without them having to earn it. It's extended by grace. You have to do something in order to earn a reward. You have to do something in order to receive a prize, but a gift is freely given. And it says so much more about the giver than it does the recipient. And the recipients are us. Whether your sin is an issue, is an anger or control, manipulation or lying or whatever it might be, whatever you're struggling with, it doesn't matter. The gift of salvation is the grace of God through Jesus Christ because of how much He loves us. The gift of salvation is encapsulated in everything that the cross is. It's a beautiful gift. It's a stunning gift. How many of you in here today have children? Can you raise your hand right now if you have kids of your own? Yeah, quite a few of us. So I think that you would relate to this. We have two boys of our own, Mark and I, and we never realized how much we could love someone until they came into our world. And you know, there's nothing that we wouldn't do for them. There's nothing that we wouldn't give up for them, nothing we wouldn't drop to go be with them, help them, support them. But the cross held our Heavenly Father's Son. And in that moment, He died on the cross. He became the bridge to bridge the gap between us and God. He took on His physical body this punishment for all our sin. He became us, so to speak, and took our place so that we have this choice. He became despised, the Bible tells us, on that cross. He became a man of sorrows. He became someone that people would turn their eyes away from. So hideous was what had taken place in His body as He'd been tortured and nailed to that cross. And on that cross, the Father did what no father should do. He turned His face away from His Son. He turned His back on Him. On that cross, the Bible tells us that Jesus cried out, "Father, Father, why have You turned Your back on Me? Why have You forsaken Me?" And in that moment, Jesus, who was fully divine and fully human, became altogether fully human in His experience. All of our sin, our shame, was placed upon Him to offer us as a free gift our salvation. Only love would do that. Only grace would make that happen. When I think about what God did, that He would not spare His only Son to love sinners like me, to have a relationship with me, be so willing to do whatever it took. I can't understand it. It doesn't make sense. It's hard to comprehend. And maybe that's the point of Good Friday, that the cross is not to be understood, but it needs to be accepted by faith. That needs to be experienced personally, that the power of the cross, even right now, as you're sitting in this room, has the ability to draw us into relationship with God. The power of the message of the gospel, of the grace and the love that God extended to you and I, has the power to redeem us and save us. And I want to encourage you right now, if that's brand new news to you, why don't you just consider opening your heart up to that right now, that you can experience this gift. And you see, unfortunately, a gift's ability to be realized in a person's life is purely the responsibility of the recipient of that gift. When that gift is given to you, you can't enjoy it, you can't experience, you can't live with it unless you open that gift, unless you interact with that gift, unless you allow that gift to have an impact on you. You need to accept the gift. You need to receive the gift. And so many people reject the gift because they can't work it out, or they feel like they don't deserve it, or they're cynical, that there might be some kind of strings attached. There's no strings attached to the gift of salvation. There's no tricks with what Jesus did on the cross. Others reject it because they don't want to repent. Friend, the greatest decision you can make today is to accept and receive this gift. Others may not reject the gift, but they might cheapen it by thinking they can earn it somehow. That there are some religious things that they can say and religious things that they could do in order to receive that gift. And that if they just keep doing those things for their whole life, when they get to the end of the life, somebody will pull a list out and decide whether they've been naughty or nice, whether they've been good or bad. But you know what? Jesus didn't die that death on the cross so that we could be religious people. He died that death on the cross so we could receive that free gift of salvation, so that we could be restored to relationship with our Heavenly Father. That's why He died. This Good Friday, we're not going to reject or cheapen this gift. But for those of us who confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're going to honor this gift by taking communion together tonight. Communion is perhaps one of the most powerful acts of faith that a believer can participate in. It is remembrance, and it is a reinforcement of our conviction for what Jesus did for us. It is a remembrance for where our lives would be if not for the gift of salvation. You know, some of us would be in the gutter today if it wasn't for the grace of God. Some of us would even not be alive today if Jesus had not saved us. Some of us would be so fallen apart that we wouldn't be able to function if it was not for Jesus. And here's what is so good about Good Friday. We get to honor and appropriate what Jesus did for us afresh today. But that's not all. The communion that we take today is just one half of the wonderful life that we have in Jesus. And on Sunday, we're going to gather and we're going to celebrate what took place 3 days later, that Jesus rose to life and left the tomb. Our creative team have prepared a video package for us tonight that highlights the power of what took place when Jesus died on the cross. Let's turn our eyes to the screen.
Our King surpasses all others in worth. Every king merits honor, glory, and praise. Our King does not seek these accolades for himself. Instead, his praises resound through creation. Despite deserving the highest seat in heaven, he humbly entered the lowest point on earth. Beginning as a vulnerable babe, he showcased the power of his humanity. He willingly went to the cross, enduring crushing, bruising, and beating. While some kings boast titles, badges, and accolades, ours bore nakedness and wore scars as badges of honor. Though his hands deserved the greatest wealth, he extended them to be pierced for us. He took on our pain, our shame, wearing a crown of thorns so that we might be made whole. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. The King of Glory, the King of Kings, died as a sinner. He laid down his life, receiving mockery instead of praise, humiliation instead of adoration, and a crown of thorns instead of one adorned with gold. Hanging on that cross, he breathed his last. The one who gave creation its breath experienced the end of his own. And there our King died, his thorn-pierced crown hanging. Our King died. This is greatness. A rumble, a tremor, the ground shook. The heavens tore open. The earth broke. The stone rolled away. The tomb opened, and the one who was once lain broken came alive. The breath that departed returned. The hands once pierced now pushed him up. Our King arose, defeating death, the grave, and all its terrors. In silence he died. In resounding noise he arose. In shame he was laid down. In glory he awoke. A crown of thorns once adorned his brow. Now a crown of glory graces his head. On his robe it is written, King of all kings, Lord of all lords. The bread, his broken body. The cup, his blood shed. On the third day he rose, splitting time itself. Looking upon his creation, he declared, You are mine. On Friday he went down, and no song did we sing. On Friday he went down, and he felt death's sting. But on the third he arose, and the song of creation we now bring. We crown him now, both our Savior and our King.
We're going to take communion together. If you're comfortable, why don't you stand to your feet and get distracted by this moment and take your communion pack in your hand. Just begin to open that and remove the cracker from the top and the juice. Just take that juice in that cup in one hand, your cracker in the other, and just hold them. Thank you, Jesus. If you missed out on a pack as you came in, if you raise your hand, our team will come and find you. Just hold that cracker in one hand and that cup of juice in the other. These are very simple items that represent a very powerful and significant act. The one that we've been talking about tonight, the act of Jesus dying on the cross. The cracker represents the body of Jesus who was crucified for our sin. The cup of juice represents his blood that was poured out so that we could be made right with our Heavenly Father.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.